Good to see everybody here this morning. I keep thinking that we're going to be down to about 50 one of these Sunday mornings when I hear all of the different illnesses that have been going around, but we seem to be getting stronger, and that's wonderful. It's really good to see those of you who have had recent hospital stays that you're out and getting your strength back as well. It's an encouragement to each one of us for each one to be here, and appreciate your being here. The lesson that we had last week was one that I really didn't want to finish in the evening, so I'm going to finish it this morning. But I want to use the same example to kind of set the table. And the example that I got this from, or at least the place I got this example from, was one of Dave Ramsey's books. And Dave Ramsey was talking about one of the oddest things that happen when people start getting more responsible and paying off their debt. While you would think that those that were closest to them would support that and encourage it, very often they get a lot of opposition from their friends or from their family, and it's a little confusing at first. You're trying to do something that's responsible and the right thing, and yet there you have it. You have opposition. Why is that? And so he used an example that he had heard from a gentleman by the name of John Maxwell that I really enjoyed looking at, and I want to share it with you again. I'll go over it very quickly since many of you were here last week, but it involves an experiment that was done with a bunch of monkeys. And the people who were doing it put these monkeys in a room, and in that room there was a pole, and on the top of that pole was some fresh bananas. And so these monkeys would come in, they would release them into the room, and the monkeys would do what monkeys do. They immediately started climbing the pole to get to the fruit, and when they did, somebody sprayed them off with a fire hose. And every time the monkeys would try and do that, that same person would spray them off with the fire hose. And it got so regular that after a while they didn't have to use the fire hose anymore. The monkeys would start going up, and the other monkeys would pull them down for two reasons, I suppose. One, for fear that their mate would get blown off of that pole with the water, and the other is because they'd turn the water on and get everybody else wet. And so here they were pulling their brother and sister monkeys down, and so at that point, they just stopped the water altogether. And they started replacing the original monkeys with new monkeys. And when they did that, the new monkey would come in, do what you and I would do if we were a monkey, immediately start going up the pole. The other ones would catch him. They'd pull him down. They would discipline him for trying to get up there. And then after a while, the new monkey wouldn't start. Even though he didn't know why they were doing that, he just knew he took a beating every time he tried to go up the pole, so he stopped. Well, at that point, they'd replace another monkey that had one of the original monkeys, and kept on doing that until finally there were no monkeys left in that room that had ever been blown off the pole with the water. But they had all been pulled down. And as a matter of fact, all of them, except for the newest, had taken part in pulling the other monkeys down to keep them from going up the pole. And then they would give them a beating afterward to kind of make sure that set. So what you had was a behavior conditioning that involved just the peers. I don't want to just call it peer pressure because this was physical. It was something more than mental. But the reason I bring that up is because of this. As servants of God, each one of us, while we are here on earth, have the responsibility of finding out what God wants us to know. And yet, as we start doing that, as we start getting more serious about reading the Word and about studying the Word, we're going to find opposition. And sometimes from the strangest places. Sometimes it'll be from our family. Sometimes it'll be from friends. And we might, if we're not prepared for that, stop seeking to serve God in God's way. Because we're frankly just not strong enough to take the opposition. We can't take the ribbing from our buddies. We can't take the disapproval from our families or whatever it is. But we just simply don't have the courage to be able to go to the Word of God and find out what it says and then do it. Well, one of the things that God really wants us to do, as a matter of fact, He insists on it as we go through this life, is to find His will and to do it. Regardless of how many monkeys there might be in this life who are wanting to pull us down every time we try and get a little bit more knowledge or try and get a little closer to God. It will happen, so what will you do about it? In Matthew chapter 10, we looked, I believe, at the first 23 verses. And so I want to start in verse 34 and point out something that Christ said about this very thing. He said, starting in verse 34 of Matthew 10, he said, "Do not suppose that I have come to bring peace to the earth. I did not come to bring peace, but a sword. For I have come to turn a man against his father, a daughter against her mother, a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. A man's enemies will be the members of his own household." And then he said this, "Anyone who loves his father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. And anyone who loves his son or his daughter more than me is not worthy of me." Well, it's the very thing we were talking about, is it not? We will run into, from time to time, opposition from those that we have been the closest to, especially if we start discovering things that are different than what they believe. There is nothing more threatening to people than to have your faith tested. Well, faith comes from hearing the message, and the message is heard through the Word of God, we are told in Romans chapter 10. But the question is, where does your faith come from? One of the things I believe that is the hardest for us to really come to grip with is this. There are times when we sit down to study the Word, but we start thinking about all the different people who also have studied the Word, who may be coming to a different conclusion than we are. And maybe some of these people are very learned men and learned women. Maybe they have spent a lot of time studying the different languages, and they've spent a lot of time within the Word. And yet, this guy over here who's spent so much time disagrees with this person over here who has spent so much time. And so we might get to thinking, well, what use is it for me? Well, let me ask you, if you were a monkey, and I know you're not, but if you were a monkey, and there were fresh bananas up at the top of the pole, would you not still want them? Even though some of the older and wiser monkeys didn't want you to go get those bananas? You see, we have knowledge available to us. It is readily available to us. It's prepared in the Word of God. And God didn't make any mistakes. Even though there are those who disagree, typically the ones who disagree the most are the ones who have formed an opinion that they are not willing to let go, no matter how much they see that opinion opposed by the principles within the Scripture. And so sometimes they will see something that they have just believed forever, or their people have believed forever, and even though there seems to be something in the Scriptures that says the exact opposite, they are not willing to leave the comfort and the safety and maybe even the wisdom of those who've gone before them. And so they hang on to the thoughts of people and the teachings of men rather than the teachings of God. There's a lot of parents here. A lot of you have raised your kids and they're gone now. Some of y'all are just right in the process of raising your kids as we speak. And it's a difficult process as you go through. But isn't it true that you have your kids' best interest in mind? And isn't it true that sometimes they don't agree with that? Sometimes you want them to do this and they don't want to do that. It's a lot easier to do the exact opposite. And so they do the exact opposite. And so you may have some encouragement for them. But it's not because you don't like them. And it's not because you're trying to be tricky or sneaky or anything like that. It's because you know what's going to be best for them. And so you continually try and help them to go in the right path. That's what the Word of God does for us. God has given us His Word in perfect form. There are not mistakes found within the Word. It is perfect. You can go to the Word of God and you can find out exactly what He wants you to know. But sometimes it's going to conflict with what other people believe. Who are you going to go with? Your loving father? Or with others who you may respect and admire? You know, one of the saddest things is when we go with the people that we don't particularly respect and admire, but we're a little afraid of them. When I was growing up and we moved from town to town and we'd move from big city to big city, there was always conflicts that would arise when I arrived at the new place. My brother did a lot better than me because my brother had the wisdom of being able to keep his mouth closed. But I did not. And so sometimes when somebody said something to me, I thought there was information that was vital for them to have, and I would say it to them, and then sometimes things would go down from that point. And after a while, I got to where I could, okay, I fit in this section right here. And sometimes the peer pressure, physical or emotional, could cause me to stay in a spot that I didn't particularly want to be in. When it comes to the Word of God, God has revealed to us His plan of salvation. He's shown us how He wants us to worship. He has shown us how He wants us to live our everyday lives. He has given us some rules that are very difficult to follow. They take effort, but they are understandable. Just as you as a parent try to make sure you make your wishes known to your children in the clearest possible way, God has done that for us. But sometimes He is going to conflict with what those who are in our own family, a man against his father, a daughter against her mother, a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law, a man's enemies will be members of his own household, and anyone who loves his father or mother more than me is not worthy of me, is exactly what we run up against sometimes. Because we don't want to have disapproval, nor do we want to have conflict. It's a lot nicer to go home at Christmas and at Thanksgiving and have everybody on the same page, isn't it? But is it really that comfortable when you think that you might be compromising in certain areas? There will be people who will try to keep you back, and sometimes those very people will be people that you love. By the way, anyone who loves his father or mother more than me is not worthy of me helps to explain this passage in Luke chapter 14. Luke chapter 14 and verse 25 has some language in it that may be a little bit difficult to understand at first, but I think if we look at it consistently with the rest of the scripture, we'll see what it's talking about. Large crowds were traveling with Jesus, verse 25 of Luke 14. And turning to them, he said, "If anyone comes to me and does not hate his father and mother, his wife and his children, his brothers and sisters, yes, even his own life, he cannot be my disciple. And anyone who does not carry his cross and follow me cannot be my disciple." Well, that's strong language. Anyone who doesn't hate his family. But we have to understand that Jesus uses words differently in different times. You do that. Here we are at a very difficult time of the year from a health perspective. Most times during the year, I'll go down and visit people in the hospital, and I enjoy visiting people in the hospital. Usually, if I don't cheer them up when I walk in the room, I cheer them up when I leave because they know they get to rest. But at this time of the year, I hate to go to the hospitals, not because I hate to go to the hospitals, but because of what I could go pick up that I could go bring back to other people. Or what I could bring into their particular situation. Well, I don't hate it with malice. I just prefer not to do that because it doesn't seem the right thing to do at the time. Jesus is talking about a preference when he says anyone who does not hate his mother and father, when it comes to the teaching, he's talking about you have to prefer God's word even over your family. He is not suggesting for a moment that you have malice towards them. As a matter of fact, 1 John 4, verse 20, if anyone says, "I love God," yet hates his brother, he's a liar. For anyone who does not love his brother, whom he has seen, cannot love God, whom he has not seen. We can see that Jesus is not talking about an animosity or a malice towards those who we love. He's just saying that you have to choose God over people. There does have to be that preference. And hopefully we can see that. Luke chapter 14 and verse 28 says this. Suppose one of you wants to build a tower. Will he not first sit down and estimate the cost to see if he has enough money to complete it? For if he lays the foundation and is not able to finish it, everyone who sees it will ridicule him, saying, "This fellow began to build and was not able to finish." Now, this particular example that Christ gives never really meant that much to me because I had never built a tower before. But this last year, even though I didn't build a tower, I did repair a really big building. And one of the things that there was, I had two primary motivations. One was when I took the building, it was with the agreement that if I didn't fix it in the right way, the city was going to come in, knock it down, and send me the bill, which they had estimates between $30,000 and $50,000 for. So I was highly motivated to do this in the right direction. But there was something else. When you do something on Main Street, especially in Happy Texas, everybody sees you. And when your name is on the sign on Main Street that says you preach for the Church of Christ, they associate you with that. And I really wanted to make sure I didn't bring disgrace upon the church by doing something that was goofy. Now, I did have opposition, oddly enough. You might think, well, who would oppose trying to fix something up? But I can tell you for a fact that I had more than one person. But I do remember one specific evening where somebody came up and they told me in no uncertain terms how stupid they really thought that I was. And as I thought about that, even Tino from El Paso thought I was a crazy man. So how could I really argue with that? And about the only thing I could say is, amen, brother. But there will be people who will oppose you. There will be people who say to you, as you're trying to find out God's will, who do you think you are? You think you're smarter than this priest over here. You think you're smarter than this pastor over here. You think you're smarter than this preacher over here. You think you're smarter than your parents. And your reply, your determination has to be, I may not be smarter than them, but God is. And God is the one whose instruction I'm seeking out. Not somebody who's important, whether in the eyes of others or in the eyes of themselves or even in my eyes. I have to go with what God has to say. And so as we talk about trying to study the Word of God to the best of our ability, there's a cost that's going to be associated with that. And you're going to have to figure out, do I really want to pay the cost? Because as you go through the Word of God, you're going to find some things that conflict with your druthers in life. And then you're going to have to make a decision. Do I still keep living like this, or do I turn my life fully over to Christ? 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 2. Well, let's jump ahead to verse 4. Talking about people who think it's strange that you don't involve yourself in sin anymore. Because you're going to find things within the Scripture that tells you you can't do this anymore. Some of those people are going to be your buddies whom you used to do that with. It says this. 1 Peter 4, verse 4, they think it strange that you do not plunge with them into the same flood of dissipation, and they heap abuse on you. But they will have to give an account to him who is ready to judge the living and dead. Now, there's a couple of things there. Those who would oppose you from serving God, they're going to have to give an account. But I hope your attitude for that isn't good. They'll have what's coming to them. I hope your attitude is, I hope I can influence them in some way so they can repent of what they're doing and so that they can start living well for God. Because we don't want anybody to have the penalty that God has reserved for those who don't obey Him. There will be people who think it's strange that you don't go out and do the things that maybe you used to do. And they might even say you're a hypocrite for not doing it anymore. A hypocrite is somebody who sees what is right and does what's wrong anyway, but says they're doing what's right. A hypocrite is not somebody who recognizes what I've done in the past is wrong and I'm going to do my best to stop doing it. And yet the world and their convoluted arguments will very often call you a hypocrite for trying to go by God's will because you acknowledge that it's God's will. And so you're going to have that problem. There's something else in here as well. When people give you a hard time for trying to do God's will, this is something we all need to remember, and it's from 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 3. You have spent enough time in the past doing what the pagans choose to do, living in debauchery, lust, drunkenness, orgies, carousing, and detestable idolatry. And then it says they think it's strange that you don't participate with them. But Peter's point through inspiration is this. You used to do this. You don't need to think that you're somehow high and mighty because you're stopping and doing this. But it does help us to understand, okay, now I can see why they're doing this. I can see why those monkeys are trying to pull me down because I used to be one of the ones at the base trying to pull other people down. I can see that. But it doesn't change for a moment the responsibility that we have to climb to the top so that we can get the truth. One of the things that Satan does very well is he makes the truth convoluted. He also makes it difficult to get to. Satan has a lot more patrons than does God. Satan has a lot of people who are following him, and sometimes they're very vocal. But that doesn't change what you have to do for a moment. But maybe by understanding this, maybe by understanding I've done that too in the past, maybe there will be a softness in our attitude. Instead of getting mad at everybody who's trying to oppose us from doing what's right, maybe we'll have a little compassion on them and think, okay, I'd rather they not be doing this, but I did it too. And so I'm going to try and figure out to the best of my ability how I can serve God and how I can encourage them to do the same. But if we can do that, there is a tremendous reward awaiting for us. The last passage that I want to call your attention to is found in 1 Peter chapter 1. And it starts in verse 3. Peter starts off by saying this, "Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In His great mercy, He has given us a new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, and into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade, kept in heaven for you." Now, I like that new birth, because that new birth says you get a new chance. You were lost over here, but because of your doing your part, God's going to go way more and do His part, and now you have a second chance. And so because of that, we are shielded through faith, verse 5, by God's power until the coming of the salvation that is ready to be revealed in the last time. In this you greatly rejoice, though for a little while you may have to suffer. You may have had to suffer grief in all kinds of trials. Again, these monkeys who will pull you down can cause you a lot of grief, and you may suffer because of that. You have to determine in advance, is this worth it? Is the cost of this tower I'm building worth it? If not, don't even start. But if it is, then be determined to see it through. Talking about those trials, verse 7, "These have come that your faith of greater worth than gold." Do you believe that? Would you rather have faith or would you rather have gold right now? "Which perishes, even though refined by fire, may be proved genuine and may result in praise, glory, and honor when Jesus is revealed." And then he says this, "Though you have not seen him, you love him, and even though you do not see him now, you believe in him and are filled with an inexpressible and glorious joy." That is us. We don't deserve to be in this position, but think about that. I was lost, and now I'm not. I don't deserve it, but it makes me really happy. There are going to be difficult times in life, it's true, but I'm saved. There will be people who will oppose you, but you're saved. You don't deserve to be. If we can have that mindset, that attitude, then we're going to have this filling with inexpressible and glorious joy. And then he says why? "For you are receiving the goal of your faith, the salvation of your souls." So the question I want to leave you with today is this. Is the cost of finding out what God has for you to do and then doing it worth it? Or are you going to let all the monkeys pull you down and then join the monkeys? It may not be that big of a deal to you right now, but there will be a time where we all kneel before God's judgment seat. And He'll render the verdict that we deserve if we're apart from Him. But He'll render a well done, good and faithful servant if we'll just do our part. But it takes some effort, and it takes some determination, it takes courage. Do you have that kind of courage? Invitation's open. If you're ready to become a Christian, or if we can help you with prayer, just come forward and let us know while we stand and sing.